Our opening hymn is number 301. Let every Christian pray.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service this morning on this feast day of Pentecost. And that is the prayer of the church on this day. Come, Holy Spirit, as we seek to welcome God's Spirit into our midst and to be enabled to live in his power. And we're going to be thinking about those things in our service this morning, and we welcome also all who are joining us online as we worship together today. Hopefully on the way in today, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I just wanted to remind people that there are no toddlers tomorrow because of the bank holiday. And also to mention in particular, this Friday afternoon at 3:30, we're looking forward to another Messy Church event over in the church hall. And if you have children or grandchildren of primary school age, and they'd be really, really welcome. It's always lots of fun, lots of music, lots of craft, and lots of food. And we hope that you can come and maybe invite a friend or neighbor to join us as we look forward to Messy Church this Friday afternoon at 3:30. Also, to remind people of our services next Sunday, Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, the Connect service is in the church hall. And on Sunday evening at 7, the service of Holy Communion. Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. You'll find all the responses on the screen, or if you wish to prefer to follow in the prayer book, it begins on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to stand now together and say our psalm for today, which is Psalm 104. And if you're following in the Book of Common Prayer, you will find it on page 710. We start at verse 26. O Lord, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea spread far and wide, and there move creatures beyond number, both small and great. There go the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made to play in the deep. All of these look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it them, they gather it. You open hand, and they are filled good. When you hide your face, they are troubled. When you take away their breath, they die and return again to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountain and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will make music to my God while I have my being. So shall my song please him while I rejoice in the Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and made them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and drove quail in from the sea. It brought them all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground, as far as a day's walk in any direction. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, during our next hymn, we're going to ask the children and young people to go out to Sunday school. But for the rest of us, we're going to worship together, standing and singing number 701, Jubilate, Everybody. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's respond to what we have heard this morning as we share together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A collect prayer for today, this day of Pentecost. Almighty God, on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel. By the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll continue in worship now as we sing hymn number 570, Give Me Oil in Your Lamp.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Interesting things tend to happen whenever people come together. Sometimes at random gatherings or various social settings, strangers meet, they become friends, and they even fall in love. And at other gatherings, you will see people queuing with tickets and making their way into sporting arenas or concert venues, united by a shared curiosity or passion. And then when you get the main event going, the atmosphere can be absolutely electric. It's like a surge of energy as the momentum builds. And of course, coming together is at the very heart of the day of Pentecost. And it's a great thing now that after church, we can get together as a community of people to share some tea and coffee and some fellowship together, and you will always hear the energy in the room whenever people come together. And maybe COVID heightened our sense of this. Do you remember, for example, when we could meet people from outside our bubble for the very first time, when we could go for walks with people or visit in their gardens? It was such a fantastic thing to be able to see people again and to physically get together. And even though we couldn't hug them and we had to wear masks, it was just the most incredible feeling to be able to see them in person and not just through a screen. I remember vividly all the preparations for our first in-person church service after the church was allowed to reopen with restricted numbers. And with Peter's help at the back, we made a video about what would happen whenever people arrived, so people knew exactly what to expect. Someone would spray your hand with sanitizer. Someone else would take you to your seat. You had to sit 3 meters apart. You had to wear masks. You couldn't sing, but we felt so excited about simply being in the building together. And there were nerves, and there was anxiety too, but the overwhelming feeling was one of anticipation and excitement. And the festival of weeks, or the day of Pentecost, it was a big deal in the Jewish calendar. It was like a harvest Thanksgiving occasion. And people gathered to offer the first fruits of their harvest to God. And there were all these amazing rituals and celebrations surrounding that. And we heard in our New Testament reading about what happened on the very first day of Pentecost, what many people call the birthday of the Christian church, when people received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And it was like an infilling of the risen life of Jesus on all of the individuals who had gathered together for this occasion. And I tried to visualize it in my head as it's described to us this morning, and it is an all-embracing experience. There are spectacular sounds and sights and utterances. And if I was to be totally honest, it maybe sounds a little bit out of control, and perhaps even a little bit frightening
for those of us who are used to very controlled and very restrained gatherings around our religious practices. But people heard when they gathered together this mighty rushing wind which blew through the house where they had gathered. And then they saw what appeared to be like tongues of flame descending on people. And then there were all these people from different parts of the Greco-Roman world, and they were all speaking each other's languages. And people were told were declaring the wonders of God. They were declaring the wonders of God as they got together in each other's languages. And I was thinking about that and I wondered, what would that sound like today if we heard everybody declaring the wonders of God? And maybe you're sitting here in church this morning, and perhaps the biggest wonder of all is that you're actually here at all after some of the experiences that you've been through. Maybe you have walked through some incredibly painful experiences of grief and loss. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been battling the black dog of depression, and you have known the reality of being unable to get out of bed in the morning. So dark was the cloud that surrounded your life at a certain point. And so it feels like you're declaring the wonders of God that you're actually here and in a seat and among people this morning. Or maybe you can declare the wonders of God because you've been through the pain of a broken relationship and everything secure in your life got totally shaken up. And it takes every fiber of your being to get yourself here and to be able to sit and to gather with others in the hope of some peace, or a few minutes to gather yourself or to replenish your soul in order to go again. Sometimes it will be small things, sometimes it will be big things. But whatever our experience, I wonder as we gather together on this day of Pentecost, do we gather with weariness or excitement, with a sense of dread about the future, or with hope in our hearts? Do we expect God to show up? And if so, what will that look like? I wonder if you've ever had the experience, perhaps, of going to a work presentation, or maybe a gathering in someone's house, or heaven forbid, a church service, and your eyes get very heavy. Your head and your neck, they start to do that little involuntary nod. And no matter how hard you fight it in the warmth, you're drifting off to sleep. I'm afraid I have a little bit of form with this kind of stuff. I've fallen asleep on the shoulder of strangers in buses. I have snoozed through training sessions over Zoom. I recently woke up after a pension seminar. I was the only one on the call. And when I was thinking about these things, my mind went back to a church history lecture during my training for ordination. We were all in a small, warm room in Trinity College, Dublin. I was trying to take notes. The lecture wasn't the most interesting I'd ever been to, and my head started to go. I tried, you know that thing where you prop it up with your arm when you're writing your notes? And then I put it down on my arm when I was writing notes. But I was fighting a losing battle. And as I tried propping myself up and writing notes to stay awake, it wasn't happening. And my colleague next to me, who's now a senior figure in the Church of Ireland, he tried to help me when the lecturer's back was turned by giving me a little shake as the lecturer wrote some stuff on the board. But I remained unconscious. And so more drastic measures were taken by another colleague who began to gently prod me in the ribs with a pen. But there was still no response. And then eventually one of the more mischievous members of the class decided more drastic action was needed. And this time it was a sharp jab with the pen in the ribs. And you can see where this is going. I reacted with one of those embarrassing shouts, "Wah!" as I regained consciousness. And the lecturer turned around and glared at the semi-conscious rector of St. Finian's, and the class were all biting their hand to suppress the laughter. Today we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, and we're thinking about the life of God stirring within us, the life of God that brings new ideas and new things into life. And when I've been thinking about the Holy Spirit this week, I wonder, is it a bit like a divine jab in the ribs when we are asleep? Because sometimes in our spiritual life, we drift and we fail to pay attention. And sometimes it takes a jab in the ribs as we gather together to wake us up. And so I wonder, what might God be stirring in you and in me this morning? Are there ideas, perhaps, to reach out to the missing generations in our church, to those people who no longer come, to those of different generations who for various reasons find it difficult to cross the threshold? Are there people in our hearts that we feel we should pray for? Are there projects that we think of as God's people in the world we ought to be getting involved in, locally, nationally, and internationally? Is there stuff at work or at school or at home that we should be praying for? Have we got away from reading our Bibles and praying regularly? What might God be poking you in the ribs about today? Pray about it, whatever it is. And whether it is gentle or whether it's an all-embracing experience like the first Pentecost, allow him to breathe new life into you and me and into our church. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, on this day of Pentecost, we pray for your church. Breathe new life into us. Give us that poke in the ribs, if that's what's needed, to focus our attention on the things that you want us to think about. And so we pray this morning for David, our bishop. We pray for wisdom in the many decisions he has to take, and for courage and for vision for all who are involved in the life of your church. We pray for creativity in reaching out to generations that we don't see at worship. We pray for the spirit of welcome. We pray for engaging worship and spirit-filled preaching of your word, so that hearts may be changed and many would encounter the life-changing fire of your love and share it with others. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray for Ukraine and Russia after a week of missile strikes on hospitals and drone strikes and medical centers. We pray for all the journalists who are reporting on this war, asking for integrity and truthfulness to inform all that we hear and read. And we continue to pray for peace, not just in this region, but also in Sudan, a peace that's only possible through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. We pray for the sick and for the poor and for those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially this morning for all who are sitting and preparing for important exams in schools and universities. We pray for their families and for their teachers and for that important ability to keep things in perspective, and for your presence and peace. We also pray today for all who face major surgery in this coming week. We remember those who are awaiting the results of medical tests. We pray for all who are beginning treatment for cancer. Be with them and be with their families at a time of anxiety and stress, and bring the reassurance of your love and presence to all who face difficulties at this time. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The message we hear at Pentecost is often such a personal one, and we're going to respond to what it is God may be waking us up to as we stand and sing together hymn number 299, Holy Spirit, Come Confirm Us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us in worship this morning, whether you are here in the building or whether you are worshiping with us at home online. Let's bring our service to a close with a prayer of blessing. The Spirit of truth leads you into all truth. Give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to proclaim the works and words of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 308, Revive Your Church, O Lord. Peace, to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.